With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Mike Florio is Pro Football Talk at Pro Football Talk on Twitter. You see him on NBC Sports as well, and he is with the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Mike, we were reading yesterday in the Washington Post about the meeting of the NFL owners yesterday and today. There was some thought that they might again step all over themselves doing some unnecessary tinkering with their anthem policy and or the roughing the passer penalties, etc. What are you hearing about what's going on in those rooms?
Yeah, they're not doing anything with the national anthem because, first of all, they really can't do anything without involving the NFL Players Association, and they have spoken with the NFLPA. They've tried to negotiate something. But you know what? It's all died down. There's a very small handful of guys who protest during the anthem. Albert Wilson and Kenny Stills of the Dolphins take a knee. Eric Reed back in the NFL with the Panthers. He takes a knee, and nobody says boo. Russell Okung of the Chargers raises a fist. I think that's it. Four players out of 32 times 46 who were dressed on game day. So I think that they know that this thing has kind of resolved itself. We're less than a month away from the midterm elections, and there hasn't been any banging on the drum by the president of NFL players kneeling in recent weeks. I know he has had other things to worry about, but how long does it take to cobble together a tweet that calls out the NFL for still kneeling and bringing back Eric Reed and having him kneel on the sidelines? So I think they know to leave that one alone because as of right now, it's not a problem. And as to roughing the passer, look, I don't see them changing anything because what they're doing now is hyping up all the points, yardage, touchdowns, etc. And they think that part of that comes from the fact that defensive players know that you're going to get in trouble if you hit the quarterback too hard. They want the quarterbacks to be healthy. They want the offenses to be robust because they see a connection between the protection of the quarterbacks, the scoring of points, the excitement level of games, the ratings for the games, and ultimately more money for the owners.
Mike, we know they're partially right that some of the defensive changes have allowed more points. I mean, we saw Tom Brady get out of a tackle and then slowly walk 4 yards into an end zone and score a touchdown because a defender was worried that he might get flagged. How right are they, do you think, though?
Don't you feel like every time Tom Brady is running, we should be hearing John Facenda's voice? Right? It looks like, and the snow should be slowly falling as the, and I don't buy Breland Speak's argument. I think he just missed the tackle, and it's too embarrassing to say a 41-year-old man got away from me, so I'm going to blame it on being careful about the roughing the passer rules. But I don't know how many fewer hits quarterbacks are taking because of it. The issue is, are they giving out 15 yards of field position when the quarterbacks get hit? It's like when they used to penalize touchdown celebrations, and people would say, oh, it's the no fun league. Well, they're still doing it. The guys are still doing it. They're just getting flagged for it. It's not stopping them from doing it. I don't know how many fewer roughing the passer instances, how many fewer hits we're seeing on quarterbacks, whether they're legal or illegal, based upon this. I know that the Steelers' attitude is, we're just going to tackle the quarterback and we'll take our chances. If it's a foul, it's a foul. If it's not, it's not. There's too much inconsistency among the 17 referees to worry about trying to placate any one of them. You just get the quarterback onto the ground and you deal with the consequences if the consequences come.
What's the significance of the breaking news today that Jaguars owner Shad Khan is now not buying Wembley Stadium in London as we thought he was going to?
Well, that should end any discussion whatsoever of the Jaguars moving to London or splitting the schedule between Jacksonville and London. Now, that doesn't mean he won't. It's not like you have to own the stadium to relocate the team, but it makes more sense to relocate the team for all or part of the annual schedule if you own the stadium in England where the team would be playing its game. So I don't think it takes off the table a partial or complete move of the Jaguars, but if they move, they won't be playing in a stadium that their owner also owns. And, you know, a lot of owners don't own the stadiums they play in domestically. It actually takes away an awkward negotiating point when it's time to replace the stadium in Jacksonville or renovate it. And if Shad Khan wants public money, the response will be, well, wait a minute, you paid for your own stadium in London. Why are you looking for someone else to pay for your stadium here? So that won't be an issue now if that ever comes up.
So what marketplace does he look at now? What marketplace does the NFL look at now, for that matter, with the Jaguars?
Well, I think they stay in Jacksonville. I don't. You know, Shad Khan has been saying all the right things, although I'm sure Stan Kroenke said all the right things too about keeping the Rams in St. Louis, right? All I know is that they like to have that carrot dangling for the folks in London to keep them fully engaged in the annual three or four games that get sent over there. And it's playing out the way that I said 7-8 years ago it would, like that shrink-wrapped package of the small cereal boxes that you get. You know, you don't get your own team all the time, but you eventually get 5, 6, 7, 8 games with different teams in play, and it's a variety pack. And help, there are plenty of fans in the United States that would prefer not to have their home team there every week based upon how bad they are. They'd rather see some other teams come in and play. So I don't know that that's a bad thing. I just think that it's hard to get to the truth when it comes to London expansion or relocation to London, because there is a strong component that arises from selling to the people now and getting them excited every year. And you know, every once in a while, oh, there may be a Super Bowl in London. That's never going to happen. But if that's, you know, it creates more fascination and excitement, and maybe that's the factor that gets somebody to buy tickets and take their family to a game on a given Sunday.
Are the Raiders selling everybody or not? Are they burning this thing down? Because you hear John Gruden talk out of both sides of his mouth, trying to maybe send a message that he wants the phone to ring, even if he's saying he doesn't.
Yeah, I think Amari Cooper is available, but I think a first-round pick, which is what the Raiders reportedly want, is too much for him. They're getting to the point where they have to decide what they're going to pay him if they're going to keep him around. So maybe one alternative is you get a draft pick for him instead. He addressed yesterday the perception that they're tanking. I think it's too early to be deliberately tanking, because we've seen teams turn it around who started 1-5. But I'm amazed by the disconnect. I was talking about this on my radio show this morning, PFT Live. The disconnect between the value that draft picks have when we're in April and the draft is approaching, and you see how much teams give up to move a spot. You guys saw it 2 years ago when the Bears gave up a lot of stuff to go from 3-2 to get Mitchell Trubisky. And the disconnect between that reality and the obvious connection as to what it takes to get into that high spot, which is if you stink and you're losing, keep losing. At some point, it is a good business decision to tank, even though it doesn't get discussed in those terms. I think it's too early for the Raiders to be thinking about that, but there's extra suspicion because they're leaving Oakland. They're separating from Oakland, and they want to have the best possible team when they go into their new stadium. And if you can get some draft picks, if you can get some higher draft picks because you were bad your last year in Oakland, then that puts you in a better position to potentially thrive in Las Vegas.
Mike, we were talking about viewership in the NFL, and seeing as that Sunday night's broadcast was the highest watched, most viewed white week 6 broadcast in the history of NBC, that seemed to speak to me. I was also looking at attendance numbers, and there's only 3 teams in the NFL, according to Pro Football Reference, that have an under 90% attendance rate. That's Cincinnati, it's Los Angeles, and it's Washington. Is the NFL concerned with attendance much anymore? Or are they more focused on eyes on game in terms of broadcast?
I think right now they're focused on broadcast because that's where the dip happened from 2015 to 2016. And we all thought it was because the election was eating up so much oxygen in the national room. And last year when the ratings kept going down, I think that's when it became panic time. And so even though the ratings are up this year, they still have a long way to go to get back to 2015. But if the choices are up or down, it's better that they go up. And the NFL is very happy about that. I reported over the weekend that the NFL was actually hoping to get a new labor deal in place by the next Super Bowl in February 2019, because they thought having labor peace halfway through the next decade would be conducive to getting the money they want from the networks in the next TV deal. Mm. Now that the ratings are up, there's no longer any urgency to get a deal done with the NFLPA. So they're very happy about this. They're thumping their chests about it. So I think the attendance, look, they got rid of the blackout rule. Remember, they suspended the blackout rule a few years ago under political pressure, and then it just never came back. With that threat, that weird, goofy, hey, if you don't buy all the tickets, you can't watch the game, it's stupid. I can't believe that lasted as long as it did. With that now gone, and they still are having attendance, you know, above 90% in 29 out of 32 teams, I think they're happy with that, because the real money long term is going to come from the broadcast, especially with gambling. And I think with attendance, the moment you can do in-stadium gambling, that's when, and you know, at your seat with some sort of a digital unit where you can bet one play at a time, I think that's when they can even charge more to get into the stadium, because you're basically walking into a casino for 3 hours where you can bet on 1,000 different things the time that you're there.
Isn't the devil in the details, though, the demographic numbers of how the ages break down? Because the NFL knows that its average viewer is middle-aged. And if this thing is going to keep going, they've got to envision what the product is going to be, what it's going to look like for a kid now that grows up staring at his or her phone all day and with the world broken up into little easily consumable bits. Don't they have to find a way to have NFL games between 2 hours and 2.5 hours with all these gambling opportunities and all this real-time stuff? It's some way of tightening it all up for the next generation?
Well, I mean, we'll see, because the Alliance of American Football and the XFL both aspire to do just that. And it's not hurting college football, and those games go on and on for like 4 hours, it seems like. So I think it's more about making that 3 hours as engaging as possible. That's why they're so happy about the increase in scoring and passing. You're not going to get bored with the game if it's not a boring game. If there's a touchdown every other drive, if there are exciting plays, if you have great quarterbacks doing great things, you get drawn into the game. That game Monday night was a prime example. Nobody expected 49ers-Packers to be an exciting game, and right out of the gates, they're trading touchdowns, and hey, maybe we may be onto something here. And the scoring really tailed off in the second half, but by then, we were hooked, and it felt like a big game, and it felt like a big deal, and they need that more frequently. And you can only control so much of it, but I think this dynamic with so many great young quarterbacks now in the NFL and colleges producing quarterbacks who can play at a high level every year, and coaches embracing the things they do at the college level and incorporating that into the NFL game plans, that's all adding up to more great quarterback play, which I think that's the thing that's going to attract the younger demographic. They need exciting football games. If they have exciting football, they're going to embrace it. If it's not exciting, they will find other things to do.
Mike, not for nothing, before we let you go quickly here, how much of a heat check did you feel the Bears loss to the Dolphins really was?
Well, I think, and Mike Tirico put it best, we do a segment that goes at profootballtalk.com after halftime of the Sunday night game. It's the last thing we do before we call it a day. He said, this is one of those games where you're going to look back on it in January and you're going to wonder, what if, right? Whether it's the last game that keeps you out of the playoffs or it's the difference between wild card and division title. This is that one where you had it and now it's gone. So 11-5 is going to be 10-6. 12-4 is going to be 11-5. 9-7 is going to be 8-8. However it shakes out from here, that was one that was in the back pocket. And really, the one week one was in the back pocket too. I mean, 5-0, 3-2, it's a fine line for the Chicago Bears. And the challenge is forgetting about it and refocusing on a Patriots team that seems a lot more dangerous than it was when it was 1-2.
How much does it matter that the Bears are good? What does that mean? Is it the Bears like to think of themselves, and they always tout the heritage brand. They've been around for 100 years and the whole major market thing. I don't know if they carry the weight they used to, but the NFL has to like it when they matter.
Oh, absolutely. Here's the thing, and I've been an ardent follower of the NFL for 45 years now, and far more often than not, the Bears aren't a factor. The Bears haven't been a factor. I remember in the 70s, it was like the Bears, they got Walter Payton, but they're not any good. That's what made 1985 so jarring. And, you know, they had the Super Bowl appearance, 12 years ago now, NFC Championship game appearance in 2010, but no playoffs since then. And nobody really bats an eye about it. It's not like the Raiders or the Cowboys. When they're down, it's like something's wrong with the NFL, and the Raiders have been down far more often than not lately. But it's a testament to the Bears brand that they still have that relevance. Like Bears-Packers, a big week one draw for Sunday Night Football, even though the Bears haven't been a great team lately. And I think it speaks well to the future that in year one of Matt Nagy, the team is automatically relevant because you give them a little more time and maybe they're going to build on that and become a team that, you know, is a contender year in and year out.
Mike, thank you very much.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.